Welcome to Hunt Springs Baptist Church. Thank y'all for being here as we get ready for our Christmas season here. We started that last week. This week we'll be looking back at Isaiah. We're going to look at some of the Old Testament prophecy about our coming Savior. Then we'll go into some of the New Testament as we near Christmas. This morning, I'd like to ask if you have any prayer requests. Yes, ma'am. Okay, so Dorothy's aunt passed away yesterday. Keep the family in prayer. Kevin Dobson passed away. Keep his family in prayer. I know a lot of y'all knew Kevin and his wife and up here at the store, and also know his dad, Pastor Craig. So keep them lifted up in prayer. Also, Lori's mama, she has banged her other leg again, and as y'all all know, it takes a while for that to heal. So keep her in prayer, and Lori in prayer. She nurses her also, and her name is Miss Shirley. So keep her in prayer. Also, Mike at work, not knowing if he's been exposed or not, Mike and Carol self-quarantined. I think he's got to go get tested because of his workplace. So keep Mike and Carol in your prayers also. I talked or spoke with Miss Rita the other day. She's doing better. She got real weak one day when I was doing the therapy, and it didn't go good, but it's because she's got some ammonia coming back in her left lung, and they treating her for that and thought maybe it was just she was just weak from not being able to do that. Mona's brother's recovering at home. Well, not at home, but in his camper, but he's still got breathing problems. So keep him lifted up in prayer. Also, the Duty Hackney family. Duty went to be with the Lord, and it was a great celebration yesterday of his life, and just remarkable. I mean, everybody, all they could talk about. He got saved in 1998, and every one of his kids said, "My daddy set down the bottle and never took another drink." And then they testified that he, as soon as he got saved, he went to work for the church. I mean, he was over Sunday school and backpack programs, and I mean, that just shows the fruit of the life of a believer when God changes their life, and it was just a great celebration of life. I enjoyed just, you know, hearing the testimonies of God. I pray that all of our lives will do the same, that we'll leave a lasting legacy of our trust in God as we move forward. Any more prayer requests? Miss Diana's daddy tested positive. How's he doing for his symptoms? Okay, so he's in quarantine, but no symptoms. That's the good news. So y'all keep Mr. Jack in prayer. Miss Diana's dad. Yes, ma'am, Miss Joy. Okay. Okay. Is his arm healing as best as could be expected? Just keep him lifted up in his arm. They're trying to save his arm. He might not have use of it, but they're trying to save it. So keep that lifted up in prayer. All right. So remember Amy and her procedure, and also her employees and her as they deal and work with the public. We got a lot of others working with the public. We got a lot of folks this time of year that go out of town. We got several families out of town today, so keep them lifted up in prayer. We got folks out in the parking lot listening today. Welcome to everyone in the parking lot, and later everyone that's online. As we move ahead, be praying for us to be wise in our decisions about dealing with the COVID. Right now, as you know, we're social distancing in here. We're sitting way apart. The CDC did recommend we wear a mask when we're around people inside just because of the time of the year and what happens to that. So if you're around people that's not in your immediate family or you meet them here as we're going in and out, just stick your mask on and probably help protect you. And the goal is to help protect somebody else. We just have to do what you can. I will let you know we clean up in here. Thank Bobby and Diana for vacuuming and all, and everybody that helps every Sunday wipe down and all. Then we spray, and we're doing everything we can to take care of this time that we're dealing with. Any more prayer requests? Unspoken. How many's got an unspoken? All right, I want to read this and want you to pray for the women's quilting ministry. They do a lot of work, and they work through all this COVID time at home and everything they could to get these quilts made, and they gave the quilts to the Pregnancy Crisis Center and also to Promise, Family Promise, and also to the schools, CUOC, where they work with the children in the schools, and also to the Ebenezer House. So they made, I don't have the number in front of me, but it was 100 and some quilts, 151 quilts this year, and have distributed them. We got a letter here from the Pregnancy Crisis Center that says, "Dearest ladies, thank you for the 30 quilts you lovingly made and donated to the Reach Out Pregnancy Crisis Center. If you could see the joy that you bring to these young mothers, you would see a tiny glimpse of the joy that you are bringing to them." So thank y'all for doing that, and we just pray that God continually blesses and uses y'all in a mighty way. I'm going to ask Jesse this morning as Amy comes. Y'all welcome Amy right quick. I'm going to ask Jesse, if he will, to open us in prayer as Amy comes this morning. Is the light on that mic? All right, push that on button and see if the light will come on. Okay.
That means go. I love
all right,
we're
back with y'all out in the parking lot now. Thank you.
All right. Praise God. But yeah, Mary, did you know, and you meet so many people, and the line, that part of the course, I guess it's a bridge to the song by Love, where it says, "The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again, the lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb." Folks, when I hear that song, I was listening to it coming down the road this morning in tears, and I got a phone call. Maybe that was good. But I work with a lady at work, and we all know people who are blind, who are can't speak, or who are paralyzed in wheelchairs or born. You know. And we think about our loved ones. And lady I work with, Jennifer, we was talking a week ago. We got talking about heaven. And her husband, he's been paralyzed. He was in a go-kart wreck not too long after they got married, about 40-some years ago. And she got talking about that song, and we got sharing, and tears just rolled down her eyes, and we got talking about heaven. And I said, "Jennifer, I said, can you just imagine when all of us get home, when everything's said and done, and everything is, that New Jerusalem, everything is situated, can you imagine heaven?" And my dad and I were talking about heaven, and I love to talk about heaven. And I told Dad, I said, you know, and I told Jennifer this too, I said, "I believe that when we draw our last breath here on earth, and we take our next breath into heaven. I said, I don't know, but I believe that our loved ones are waiting there by the Jordan, by the promised land, to take us by the hand. I said, I think about that song, I bowed on my knees and cried holy. And I think about where it says, he showed me down the streets of heaven, the sights too numerous to tell. But all we want to do when we get to heaven is see Jesus. And I believe our loved ones are going to escort us down the streets of gold, introduce us, but they're going to take us to Jesus. And that just, you know, you got loved ones in heaven. I got a sister I can't wait to see one day soon. And I think about that, and precious loved ones and friends that are there. From disgrace into his glory. Worship with me.
Sight to a blind man. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And this child you could the face of God. Mary, did you know that your baby boy gives sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you
tears me up. It just does something to me. But I want to tell you something. Jesus born in a manger. Jesus, oh, what a wonderful child. Jesus, 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 oh, what a wonderful child. Jesus, Jesus, so lowly, meek and mild. New life, new hope, new joy it brings.
is, won't you listen to the angels sing? Glory, glory, glory to the newborn King. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, I was a child. Jesus, Jesus, slowly making mild. New life, new hope, new joy it brings. Won't you listen to the angels sing? Glory, glory, glory to the newborn King. He was heralded by the angels, born in a lowly stable. The adoption was his earthly mother, and Joseph was his earthly father. Three wise men came from afar, and they were guided by a shining star, seeking Jesus where he laid in a manger filled with hay. Oh, 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 Jesus, Jesus. Oh, I want a child. Jesus, Jesus, slowly making mild. New life, new hope, new joy it brings. Won't you listen to the angels sing? Glory, glory, glory to the newborn King. Jesus, to Mary, his baby. Oh, Jesus, Son of God. Jesus, my Savior. Jesus, oh, what a child. Jesus, Mary, his baby. Savior of the world. Jesus, Jesus, so holy, making mild. New life, new hope, new joy it brings. Won't you listen to the angels sing? Glory, glory, glory to the newborn King. Glory, glory, glory to the newborn King.
Hallelujah. Give us some praise. Woo, I tell you what, I just can't wait for that day we're singing. Just friends, this morning I want to tell you, I'm glad I know who Jesus is, and I hope you know who he is this morning too.
So many things in a little town, not many years ago, they told him there was no room in the inn, that they had no way of knowing. But they had turned away the Lamb of God who would take away their sin. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. He's more than just a story. He is the King of glory. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. So many people still today don't know who Jesus is. They never felt his peace within their souls. But I want my life to show them how his love can set them free. He's the only one who can take away their sin. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. He's more than just a story. He is the King. is. He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's a counselor, deliverer to me. He's the everlasting Father. He is the King of glory. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. He's more just a story. He is the King of glory. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. I'm glad I know who Jesus is.
Aren't you glad this morning that you know who Jesus is? You know, Jesus gave us the commandment before he went to heaven. He said, go and tell and preach the word. Go in all the nations and preach the word.
Paul was weary on his journey, his body frail and weak. The apostle knew the end was near as he dipped his pen in ink. He wrote, Timothy, my son, I have fought the final race. Carry on what I've begun, but most of all I pray. Preach the word, preach the cross. Preach redemption to a lost and dying world. Lift your voice unashamed of the gospel of his name. Until all have heard, preach the word. Paul and Timothy are gone, but the letter still remains, and the mission that was written down calls out to you today. Lift the name of Jesus higher until the whole world knows the story of amazing grace. We are missionaries of hope. Preach the word, preach the cross. Preach redemption to a lost and dying world. Lift your voice unashamed of the gospel of his name. The word, preach the cross, church, preach redemption to a lost and dying world. Lift your voice unashamed of the gospel of his name. Till all have heard, preach the word. Redemption to a lost and dying world. Lift your voice unashamed of the gospel of his name. Till all have heard, preach the word. preach the word, preach the word.
Walk out to our field sometime, and on the palm bank, and I turn around. It's the open sky, my granddad's place, and I said, I imagine when the midnight cry is going to come, and when Jesus comes, and He takes His children home, folks. That song, it just illuminates me, and ever since that song came out back in the 80s, I remember Gold City and Ivan, and as a child growing up, I would just imagine by going outside at night, the midnight cry. Imagine when Jesus comes again and He sweeps down and He takes us home. Jesus is coming. I don't know when, but He's coming. But if we have ever had a greater opportunity, church, this morning, to reach out, share the word, and minister to people, because there's a lot of hurting people right now. There's a lot going on in this climate. Church, be of good cheer, because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is going to sweep out, and that midnight cry is going to take us home. I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it's close now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the Father as He says, "Son, go give my children at the midnight cry. We'll be going home when Jesus steps out on a cloud to call His children. The dead in Christ shall rise to meet Him in the air. And then those that remain,
guess what?
Will be quickly changed in a moment at the midnight when Jesus comes again.
You ready, church? The midnight cry.
I look around me.
So true.
Prophecies fulfilling, church, they're being fulfilled right now. And signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere.
Guess what?
I can almost hear the trumpet as Gabriel sounds the call.
Guess what, church?
At the midnight cry, the bride of Christ
steps out on a cloud to call his children. The dead in Christ shall rise to meet him in the air. And then those that the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again, and then those that remain will be quickly changed at the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again. At the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again. Church, when Jesus
midnight cry, I believe it's just right around the corner. God bless y'all. Thank you. Keep looking up, because remember one thing, Jesus loves you.
Thank you, Amy. Y'all give Amy another hand. And give the Lord a hand, too. As we enter this Christmas season, I hope you'll forever remember that that midnight cry began in a cradle on that first Christmas morning. Because if Jesus hadn't come to prepare us, none of us would be ready for that last cry when the archangel sings and we're called home. You know, when we come to Christmas, often we separate these stories to make Hallmark cards and to make our plays and to make our celebrations come together. But at Christmas, there's three things you need to always remember. That's the cradle, the cross, and the crown. Because Jesus Christ came in a cradle. He was seated on the throne of his father David on the cross. And then he ascended to heaven, and he's coming again to wear the crown. Because he will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he will be the one that calls us home. This morning, as you take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 9, we're going to continue to look at Isaiah, some of the prophecy. I think that often we quote these things, we sing about them, we read about them in the New Testament, but we don't go back and look at how God has fulfilled these promises to the saints of old and to us as we go through everyday life. And that's what we want to look at today. If you found that in Isaiah, it's right after Psalms, Isaiah chapter 9, say amen. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And kind Father, we come before you this morning with just praise and thanksgiving. Praise that you are God that not only created all things but loved your creation. Not only are you with us to help us make good decisions, but Lord, you forgive us our bad decisions. You're always patiently waiting to apply your grace to our lives that we can be at peace with you. And Lord, we just thank you for the peace of Christmas that comes, the peace that you bring into our hearts, Lord, the joy that we experience, Lord, the giving and receiving of gifts that teach us what relationships was created to be like. Lord, I pray now as we move forward here, Lord, that we would look at your perfect gift, that we'd know that you have a gift beyond gifts that awaits for all who trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This morning, we come to that time where I've heard a lot of people talking about their Christmas list and what they're going to be doing. My question is, are you ready for Christmas? I got a few people, yes. Most people are not ready to the last minute, I guess. But when I asked you that, I will say, if you're not ready for Christmas, God is. Do you put a lot of thought into the gifts you buy? God does. Have you finished your Christmas shopping? God has. When you're thinking about someone on your Christmas list, do you ever consider what they really need? God does. Have you ever looked for that perfect gift? I'm talking about a present that is really useful and they can continue to use it for a long time. I hate to give gifts. You know, you go in there and they got all this stuff sitting there and it's marked down, it's cheap, and you're supposed to find something to give somebody, and it's some knick-knack or some trinket or something I know they ain't going to use, and I know they're going to have to smile when I give it to them, right? I'd rather give them something that they can really use. I got a buddy, I was thinking about it, I was going to get him something the other day, and I got thinking about it. He got so excited about something as simple as cornbread. I think I'm going to give him some cornmeal, some buttermilk, some jalapeno peppers, some yellow onions, and I'll let him fix him some cornbread, and he'll just be happy as he can be. I like to give gifts that are useful. And God is the same way. God sees our needs, and God wants to fill those needs. Have you ever looked for a perfect gift, a present that's really useful for a long time? The gift that is useful, it lasts longer than Christmas morning. That is a gift that is difficult to find. However, now and then, we do discover that perfect gift. Have you ever got that gift? You know that person is going to use it. They're going to like it. When they open it up, they just going to light up. They just going to be excited. So you bring that gift home. And you wrap it. Now, in my house, in my family, when they was growing up, you know, usually you couldn't keep gifts till Christmas morning. Because if you didn't get talked into giving them out early, I have found out that they learned to rewrap them after they looked at them. Amen. I was looking at some gifts one year, and I'm like, I didn't use that kind of tape. My point being, sometimes when we get that real good gift, we can't wait to see the expression, the happiness it brings them when they open that gift. We want to see them to receive it. We want them to enjoy it. Have you ever found a gift like the one I've been describing? You know, God has found that perfect gift. God has finished his Christmas shopping. He has the perfect gift, and his perfect gift has a name, and that name is Jesus. God is excitedly waiting for you not only to receive Jesus, but he wants to see you. He just wants to witness you enjoy Jesus every day of your life. A gift that keeps on giving. He wants to see you put Jesus to use in your life. You know, this morning we have a familiar Bible passage, and it describes that perfect gift that God has given us. Isaiah 9, 1 through 7 gives us five reasons Jesus is the perfect gift that satisfies all our needs. First of all, it says in verse 6, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us. First of all, Jesus is fully human. It says a child will be born to us. If you remember, we looked in chapter 7, verse 14, and it says, and a child will be born to a virgin, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And if you remember what's going on here, as we was talking about this last week, when you talk about a child in the Bible, you talk about childlike faith. It always, when you're talking about children in the Bible, just follow through any of them passages, and it reminds me of the song, Jesus Loves Me, about the little children. Though they are weak, he is strong. It's about trusting in God. And if you remember last week when we was talking about that, Emmanuel, God with us, I said God is with us and he desires for us to trust him in all our decisions. In all the decisions that we make, God is there with us wanting to help us with those decisions. Now, in chapter 8, verse 3, we understand that sometimes we don't always, you know, trust God in our decisions. And then here in this, we see that God even forgives us when we make bad decisions. Amen? So when it's talking about Emmanuel and it's talking about Isaiah's sons and their names, what the idea is there, it is unnecessary to trust anybody or anything other than God in our decisions for our life and our well-being. Now, in chapter 8, we see that sometimes we misplace our trust. Amen. Now, we say we trust God, but when things start getting a little chaotic or a little conflict going, or we start losing peace around us, or we don't have peace in the situation we're in, sometimes we go looking for ways to hurry up and fix it ourselves. When that happens, when we misplace our trust in something other than God, the results are disastrous. Here in chapter 9, we see that the Son that is born to us, the Son that is given to us, God's Messiah, His anointed one, the Savior of the world, the Christ that puts Christ in Christmas, the Jesus that is our Savior, even when we make decisions that turn out disastrous, God is still with us and God is ready to redeem us. Now, that ought to be good news, because we all still make mistakes. We don't like to admit it, but we do. Now, this child will be born of a virgin, fully God. But He says He will be given to us. This is a divine giving. In other words, God has given us His Son. He's born of a virgin. He is given by God. So Jesus is, and I know you've heard this, for the God-man. He's fully human. He's fully God. He is born without a human father through a virgin conception. And so when Jesus is born, He's like we are. The Bible says that He's been tempted in all things as we are, except He's without sin. There's no sin. He come to do the Father's will. So He is the perfect Son who can be the perfect prophet, priest, or king. Whatever you're looking for in a gift from God, Jesus is the perfect gift. Now, when you get a gift at Christmas, I've said this before, and I know you've heard it before. If the gift is under the Christmas tree, and y'all done eat some bird, and y'all done all the cranberry sauce and all that stuff, and they go handing out the gifts, right? Whether y'all have drew names or just bought everybody a gift, they go calling your name, and they're looking for you, and they're handing them out. Y'all still do that? Stack up gifts around the kids and around y'all? Now, if somebody's got a gift for you and they go to give it to you, what have you got to do? Accept it. You got to reach out and accept that gift. So this child, this perfect gift that is fully God and fully man, it is a perfect gift, but we've got to be willing to accept it. Now, it says here that the government will rest on His shoulders. Now, this has probably been one of the best Christmases to preach about the government. We've had so much going on since the COVID, the election, everything that's going on. And I thought I'd finally got it passed last night. And something on TV, I had two people call me, "Preacher, are you watching this?" I'm like, I'm trying not to. I'm doing my best not to turn the TV on if I can't help it, right? When we think about the government, and I'm not just poking fun at the government, but we trust them to do certain things for us. Now, have we ever trusted in the government or somebody else where eventually they don't let us down? No. Because why? They're human institutions run by human beings. And by nature, until we reset our direction that we're going, we by nature begin to get selfish. No matter who we are, and we start looking after our desires or our needs more than we do other people. Now, this says that this gift, He is going to be a child, fully human, fully God, and the government's going to rest on His shoulders. And you say, well, that means He's got the weight of the world. He does, but it means more than that. It means that that righteous robe of the King, when Christ puts that on, He rules in righteousness and in justice. There's never any injustice in His decisions, and there's never nothing that He asks for us that is not right and best for us. He rules our lives when we submit to Him in such a way that we don't mind calling Him Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Amen? So, as we think about Jesus, as we think about this Christmas, we need to think of not just a child born, but a perfect child, fully God, fully man, come to live this earth the life that we should have lived. He's living and he grew up. He died on the cross for us. He was buried. He was resurrected. He ascended to heaven. It says in Hebrews and in 1 Peter that he's sitting at the right hand of God, reigning and ruling. How does he rule the earth today when it's in such a mess? Over the hearts of believers. He is the royal ruler. When we look at God, we see a righteous rule, and we let Christ rule over our hearts. We look to submit to him. But not only that, it gives his name. And it gives four distinctive characteristics of the predicted Messiah's perfection. He is, first of all, a wonderful counselor. Counselor describes someone that is giving you a plan, but also implementing that plan. Wonderful describes something extraordinary and remarkable in nature. So not only is Christ the one that gives us instructions, but it's wonderful instructions. It is different than anything else you'll ever get. Why? Fully God, fully man. It is a supernatural act of God that Jesus Christ was born into this earth, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried, was resurrected, ascended to heaven, that is returning to take us home to be with him. And not only is that supernatural, but everything that Jesus does is beyond anything in this world. And his counsel for us, it is wonderful. Had somebody call me, and I ain't giving no names about this because I know they might be listening to this, and they're going to be like, I can't believe you used that. I had somebody call me about something yesterday, and it was very important because the phone just kept ringing, and I was in a service, and I text back, I'm in a funeral, can this wait? And they said, oh, yeah, and they text back, call me when you get a chance. And then my phone, I finally had to turn my phone off. It sent me something. So when I got out of the funeral, I go out there, and I type them a message. Preacher, you know, I had to give that pastoral counsel, right? I gave him the counsel, backed it up with a Bible verse, right? Can't go wrong, can you? Guess what? They read the Bible verse and didn't implement it correctly. The Bible verse says to be silent, right? So they posted that silent Bible verse on Facebook. My point being, Jesus gives us counsel, but we all sometimes fail to follow his counsel. How many times have you read a Bible verse and be like, oh yeah, but that don't apply to me. That applies to so-and-so or them. I've had people tell me before, and I've done the same thing. So-and-so really needs to hear that message. Right? Hey, when Jesus is speaking, it's a wonderful counsel for all who's hearing. If God didn't want you to hear it, you wouldn't be in the hearing of that word. We need to heed God's word. He is a wonderful counselor. He is effective in all his plans. When it talks about this counsel of God, it's talking about God all the way back to eternity past, making a plan, not only making that plan, but implementing that plan. That plan come into the life of Jesus on this earth. It continues in Jesus' life in heaven, his return, and it's going to go not only into the 1,000-year reign that Christ is going to have on this earth when we will reign and rule with Christ, but also into the new heavens and earth, into eternity without the presence of sin, any deception, any disease, with Christ Jesus. Guess what? This perfect gift, my Jesus, he not only makes plans, he works them out, and he's continued to work them out, and he'll bring them to completion. Paul says that I am confident in this one thing, that he who began the good work in you will bring it to perfection until that day. Talking about the day that Christ Jesus returns. This is that counsel. How many times do we look for answers in our lives and fail to go to God's word first? Pray and read his word and see how we should act. We read his word. When we do, we need to find his promises, and we need to count on them. You can bank on them. When you read something in God's word, guess what? It is not only true, it remains true. It is unchanging. It does not change. When we bank on that, we can trust in God. I want you to remember, when you talk about Jesus, when you talk about Christmas, when we're looking at these text in Isaiah that's pointing forward that Isaiah don't really see how this is going to work out, and Matthew explains it when we get to the New Testament. Luke explains it when we get to the New Testament. The whole idea of these three chapters is, guess what? Trust God. Say, trust God. Trust God. Now, we can say we trust God, but how we live out our lives reveal how much actual trust that we have. You can say, I believe something. You can read it and say, I believe it. But guess what? If you don't do what God's Word says, you don't believe it. It's like me wanting to go to Tennessee. I believe that Southwest takes off in Raleigh-Durham, and it lands over here in Nashville. And I could just zip right over there. And I really believe that. But if I don't go get on that plane, I'm not going to get to Nashville in 2 hours. Make sense? We can say we believe God's Word, but if we don't trust it and implement it in our life, we never reap the benefits of it. And this is what we see with Jesus. Jesus is a child that we can trust in. He is the one that will rule our lives. He also has had a name that gives us four distinctive characteristics. He's a wonderful counselor. He's mighty God. He's not only a wonderful planner, he also is a faithful implementer of his plans. Jesus has the power over everything that seeks to destroy us. I was thinking about, you know, peace. I was trying to think of what the opposite of peace is. And I was thinking conflict, thinking chaos, thinking all the stuff that goes opposite of peace. Anything that tries to destroy us automatically disrupts and destroys our peace. You ever thought about that? We got certain things in life that we always got to deal with. Satan, sin, sickness, death. Guess what? Satan, sin, sickness, and death never scared my Savior. Jesus come to this earth to heal what? The sick. Jesus come to this earth for what? Take away the sins of the world. Jesus come to this world what? Not to be served, but to be a servant of all, to give his life. Jesus said, into your hands I commit my spirit. It is finished. Jesus died for our sins. Guess what? God raised him 3 days later. Satan, sin, sickness, death, don't scare my Savior. Why? He has combated all of them, defeated them all. He is the righteous ruler over anything that we are afraid of, anything that seeks to disrupt our lives or destroy our well-being, he does. He's not only Almighty God with all power to handle and do everything, he's also the eternal Father. You know, sometimes they say, well, how is Jesus Father if Jesus is this? And talking about the Trinity, we're talking about here, he is the everlasting Father. He's the Father over time, outside of time. He is the Father forever and ever. Did you know that God, when we're talking about the Trinity, God is one essence in three persons. God is Father, God is Son, God is Holy Spirit, but in essence, God is oneness. There's nothing different from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit except for the roles they play in working out God's dispensation and his actions in our life. So when it talks about Jesus being the everlasting Father, guess what? Jesus is the child, Messiah, who was raised, who will take care of you just like a father. There's nothing you need that Jesus can't give you. Now, and I know that sounds good, right? Jesus is going to give me everything I need. Now, here's something that y'all need sometime, and y'all don't like to open this gift, okay? You ever got that gift, you know it's going to be something, some kind of, I don't like playing it, is it? Wicked or Dirty Santa. Y'all know the game I'm talking about. My family likes to play that game. I've never liked going and getting them games where you swap. Is that what it is? Whatever it is, you trade back and forth. And then when Amy gets something I want, then I've got to be selfish and try to get that back from her. Do y'all know that game? It just don't sound like Christmas to me, and I'm not good at it. So I try to hide out of the way. I buy a gift and leave it, but I try to get out of the way. Now, I say that to say this. There's always a gift that we really don't want. Jesus gives us everything we need. That includes discipline when we don't do what he says to do. father doesn't love you if he doesn't discipline. There's no father alive that loves their child that'll let them continue doing something that hurts them. Jesus not only loves us and wants us to have the best of everything, but Jesus will humble us by letting us have the results of our bad decisions till our life gets so disastrous that we get down on our knees and cry out to him for help. That is a loving, everlasting Father. You know, sometimes people will say something like, well, God must not love me no more because this happened, this happened, this happened. Sometimes that's when God loves you the most. He's putting things in your path to make you stop the direction you're going so you'll turn around and come back to him. That is one of the greatest gifts we get from Christ is discipline. You know, and Christ knows how to discipline us because Hebrews tells us that he learned discipline by suffering himself, all the things that we have suffered. So he's the everlasting Father, but he's also the Prince of Peace. You know, when you think of these names you see on a Christmas card, I want you to remember this. Prince of Peace. Jesus conquers and removes all things that take away our peace. We had something going on in our family yesterday that was trying to remove the peace, and I was like, just Lord, let me forget it. Let me not worry about it. Because guess what? You already took care of this. I don't have to worry about this. Anything that starts removing the peace from you, if you'll put your focus back on Christ and realize he's already conquered whatever that problem is and trust him with it, and you keep serving God instead of serving that problem, your peace will be internal no matter what's going on around you. One day Jesus will rule over all those who called himself king today. You know, one of the problems we have that disrupts our peace is everybody wants to be a king. In Joshua and in Judges, it says there was no king in Israel. Every man did what was right in his own eye. Have you ever noticed that the people that's always causing you the most trouble is the ones that's telling you what to do? They want you to do it their way, and your way's always wrong. And then you fall right in there and try to prove to them that you're right and they're wrong. How about just doing what God says and prove that he's right? And then we don't have to worry about that. Christ brings us peace. Men and women can never build peace without God being with them. We often we have people tell us that they're going to bring us peace, whether it be politicians, whether it be people at work, whatever it might be. If God's not in the middle of it, you'll never have peace, lasting peace. And also, this peace that I'm talking about is only possible because Jesus became peace for us. Listen to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. It says, for he himself, Jesus, is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in the flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, so that himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross by having put to death the enmity that was between them. He's talking about Jew and Gentile there. Paul says Jesus is our peace. Why? Because when we come to the cross and ask for forgiveness, and Jesus is our peace between us and God. And when I'm at peace and Jesse's at peace with God, we can be at peace with one another. Because why? It's no longer Jesse against Wesley and Wesley against Jesse. Now it is both of us working for God together, side by side, rubbing elbows. That's how Christ is our peace. And he made this peace possible at the cross. Isaiah 26:3 says, the steadfast of mind will keep you in perfect peace because he who trusts in you. In other words, if we trust in God, our mind will stay focused on the things of God to keep us in perfect peace. You know, sometimes Jesus brings peace to us by our surroundings. We've got a problem. God takes care of the problem. We're at peace. Sometimes God doesn't take care of the problem, He brings us peace to go through the storm. Does that make sense? You remember Peter and the disciples? One time Jesus calmed them. The next time there's a storm, they was expecting Jesus to calm them, and he calmed the storm. Jesus is our peace. Isaiah 26:12 says that the Lord will establish peace for us since he has also performed for us all these works. It is God's work in Christ Jesus that brings us peace, not only with God, but also with each other. Now, fourth, we see here that Jesus increases his rule and his peace forever among his people. Look what it says. It says there will be no end to the increase of his government or his peace. If Christ is ruling in your heart today and you got something going on with someone else, just keep praying and keep following Christ, submitted to Christ, letting him rule over your heart. Why? His rule, his reign, his kingdom has no end. It will continue to increase. The more he increases his reign over other people as they come to faith in him, the more peace we will experience. His government or his rule will continue to increase. Main thing you want to remember is you want God's rule and his peace to increase in your own life. Sometimes we look out wanting it to God to take care of all the other people around us so they don't bother us. Sometimes we need God to establish his rule more effectively in our life so we got peace even if everybody else is at war around us or with us. This peace will be on the throne of David and over his kingdom. This is God's kingdom. This is God's holy city he's talking about here. David, the king that was a man after God's own heart, Jesus will continue to establish and uphold God's kingdom with justice and with righteousness. It'll be a kingdom that will be just. Will we ever see that on this earth? Not till the millennium. Long as we are voting, we got human laws, human enforcement, there's always going to be little faults, little failures going on. But the day is coming that Amy was singing about when Jesus is going to make everything right. And that's what the first Christmas morning was. It was the perfect gift that keeps on giving. But it's a gift that once we open it, we got to keep on using it. Amen? We got to keep on trusting in God. Now, let me tell you the last thing about this gift, and I'll close with this. This perfect gift is the greatest gift you'll ever receive because it's all by God's grace. You don't have to do nothing to earn it. You don't have to do nothing to deserve it. It is all by God's grace. Verse 7 says, the zeal. Now, the zeal can mean jealousy. God is zealous over us or jealous towards us. Why? Because we belong to him. If somebody else is taking control of us or we're giving our attention or our worship to somebody else, God is jealous. Why? Because he deserves that. Because he's God. But zeal can also mean that the desire or the enthusiasm to do something, to accomplish something, is with intense effort. Zeal. I'm going to do it. I'm going to get done. I'm going to accomplish this. This is what it's saying. God wants you to have this gift, and he will accomplish it. He will bring everything that I've told you about this gift, about Jesus Christ. It will come true in our lifetime. Amen? And that is the gift that we can have. Now, how does that apply to us this Christmas as we close? First of all, you got to accept the gift. I'm going to close with two illustrations. First, I used to give Mona rings every Christmas because boyfriend thought that's what you're supposed to do. Husband thought you had to continue doing it, right? Good husbands keep on doing it. Men, give y'all a hint, right? They say they don't want flowers and they don't want jewelry. Uh-huh. Y'all believe that, right? So, I had a little niece that wrapped me around her little finger, right? Really hadn't ever been around a little bitty tiny baby, so she was little and short version of this. I got real close to her. So, the first year, she was like 1 year old, I come up with this plan. So I actually come down here, and I went to a store and got a little ring and got it cut down, and it fit her. It was so tiny, right? It was tiny, and gave it to her. Well, this went on every year. Well, 1 year, I thought she wanted this Barbie makeup thing. So I didn't get her a jewelry like I got Mona. I got her the Barbie makeup station. Well, she opened that and then went and got that little bitty box out from under the Christmas tree. And I said, you can't open that, honey. That's ain't Mona's. She said, no, it's mine. I said, no, it's ain't Mona's. So I gave it to Mona. She says, where's mine? And I said, you got a Barbie makeup station. Mm-mm. So Mona opens it. She sat there. I'm not kidding you. This was the day before Christmas. Santa Claus come. She sat there the next morning. Till the day after Christmas when Uncle Wes went and got her a ring. We didn't have no Christmas. Here's my point. Sometimes God's got something for us and it's not what we're expecting. But whatever it is still the greatest gift you'll ever have. Here's the second illustration, church. And remember this. As kids, do you remember? You buy this great gift. You know they're going to love it. You paid Santa Claus for it. He delivers it. Everything is great. And they open it. And they play with the box instead of the gift. Remember that? I got a horse 1 year. You know what I done? The little horse stuff that come. I built me a barn out of the box. God wants you to enjoy Jesus more than religion. A lot of times we wrap Jesus up in religion. We say, I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go do that. Jesus just wants to be with you. That's why he came to this earth. That's why he died for you. That's why God rose him. So that you can experience the greatest perfect gift ever given at Christmas time. Let us pray. I ask that you would know this child Savior, who is born to us, who was given to us. That you would know that he is a wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father. That he is the Prince of Peace. That you would know that his rule and reign are without end and are forever increasing. The peace that you have experienced in the past is nothing compared to what he has for you in the future. All the promises in the Bible will come to fruition. God will complete everything that he has promised, everything he started in your life. I'm asking you this morning, do you know that peace? Not as the world gives peace, but as Jesus gives peace. Are you at peace with God? If you've never asked God to forgive you of your sins, you can't be at peace with him. You simply say, Lord, I know that you sent Jesus, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. I'm asking for that peace. Forgive me and help me live under your rule. If you prayed that, you're saved. If you've been saved for a long time but you take for granted the gift you have every day in Jesus Christ, I'd ask this morning that you just consider that Christ desires to be with you, not just in times of trouble, not just in times of happiness, but every moment of each day of your life. He wants to be with you to walk through the troubles, to help you through the trials. He wants to bring you peace when there's chaos. He wants to encourage you when your days are dark and gloomy. And this Christmas, he just wants to be the one that you're waiting to hear that midnight cry from. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask Amy if she'll come and close us with a song.
stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt his worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices, oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born, oh,
Christmas, Hunt Springs Baptist Church. Thank you.
Thank you, Amy. Thank y'all so much. Be sure and let your friends know that if they're worried about the social distancing and all, you're welcome to sit in the parking lot. We've got it on 92.7 out in the parking lot. We might try to start playing some Christmas music on a CD or something a little earlier. So if more people come for Christmas, they'll get tuned into the radio channel and have it set before we go right into the service. I apologize for that. Anybody in the parking lot today, I should have done that earlier, and I didn't think about it today. We still have offering buckets on the front and the rear here. So instead of passing the plate, we thank you for all your support financially, prayerfully, and with your presence here to just help make Hunt Springs what it is. And we thank you for that so much. Pray that you pray for one another, remember one another, and remember Christmas, and remember every night can be a holy night if you're trusting in God when you go to sleep. Amen? Let us pray. Kind Father, as we depart this place, I thank you that you was willing to reveal yourself to us. All the secrets of your greatness are revealed to us in the person of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the Word who become flesh, the Word who tabernacled amongst us, the Savior that died for us, the Christ that was risen for us, and the reigning ruler and king that's coming for us. And Lord, as we go into Christmas, may everywhere we go, people know that we are with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank y'all so much.